Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart with Conscious Connection. Wonderful to be back with you, my listeners, again. I'm very excited today. On Conscious Connection, we're having a great discussion with Angwin St. Just. She's a PhD. She specializes in traumas, family systems, nations of the world, and healing. And she's written numerous books on trauma, and I'm just so honored to have a conversation with her today about the greater forces at work that shape individuals, families, nations, in the world. You know, very often we speak of trauma, and it's in our nervous system, and it's in our family system, generational history. Well, there's greater forces that shape all this. So today we're going to discuss some of the greater forces at play in ourselves, in our families, in the world that shape our really fate and destiny while we're alive. Let me get her on the line here. Love to talk. Angwin, are you there?
Hi, Gary. I'm here.
Hey, good, good. Thank you for holding for the introduction. It's wonderful to have you back. I'm thrilled to have this discussion on greater forces today.
Yes, greater forces. It's a great topic, actually. A very important one.
Yes. Yes, and it covers everything, personal, familial, the world, nations. So would you like to tell us a little bit about what you mean by greater forces and how it shapes the individual and then collectively the nation and about the whole planet?
Everything, actually. You know, modern mental health practice, psychotherapy, and so forth tends to be personality-driven. The focus tends to be on the person's personality, their individual history, or, you know, in couples, family therapy, working on the personalities of the individuals within that very limited system. And, you know, there does not tend to be much attention given to the greater forces, is what I'm calling them, these events outside the system which shape not only individual lives but family lives for generations.
Yes, yes. And especially with traumas like World War II or Hiroshima in Japan, and I mean countless other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
Civic
yeah,
Revolution, I mean, you name it, the Cultural Revolution with Mao Zedong, not one nation has been untouched by these greater forces.
No, of course, you know, as you said, we've had war, then there's genocide, emigration, you know, people coming and going from countries with various consequences. We have economic depression, epidemics, famine. And some blind spots, Gary, nuclear radiation and also religion.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So which one would you like to tackle first is the million-dollar question.
Well, there's so many, but war is an obvious one.
Yes.
Because it's related to many of the others. For example, many people had to immigrate because they didn't want to be conscripted into wars that they didn't believe in. Many of these wars were also related to genocide and pogroms. During and after war, there was a lot of immigration, people coming and going from countries because of total economic collapse, and of course with that goes economic depression. And, you know, the shortages of basic necessities, and with that you also get disease, so we're into epidemic, famine, and so forth. These are all, these greater forces are interrelated, of course. And, of course, there's the psychological trauma of war, which in many generations, you know, the people didn't have many resources to help them with that, and that what you get is transgenerational war trauma. So with war, also you get pollution of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that involves crop production and, you know, poison water and air and food, and again, we're back into health issues, so round and round.
Right. And even in most recent war, Iraq, where my sister personally cancer from staying there as a chaplain, mind you, military.
Yeah,
the terrible,
yeah.
Virulent.
My family too, Gary. My family cancer from the first Gulf War.
Yes,
you know, the
radiation.
This is real.
Mm-hmm. And the depleted uranium that's done in secret, but the consequence, having been to Walter Reed for myself for her healing and recovery, 8 years cancer-free, but it was torture to go through the treatment. But I saw the whole Fisher House complex full of everyone with cancer and many bizarre rare cancers from the toxins they were exposed to in Iraq.
Absolutely. Remember Agent Orange from the Vietnam?
Yes, in our corn supply.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are birth defects coming down the generations from exposure to these chemicals and radiation and so forth. So, you know, these are among the greater forces, which are, of course, as we keep saying, interrelated. And, you know, the blinds...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the blind spots.
Yes, absolutely.
Where people are not so likely to look. One, for example, would be religion. You know, throughout history, we've had religious wars. And, you know, again, that is related to immigration and emigration. And, you know, through the family systems, people were both forbidden to marry because of certain religions, or they were forbidden to marry outside of their religion, or they could marry this religion but not that religion. So in a way, religion was one of the greater forces that determined which populations could marry and which ones were forbidden to do so, and the consequences for going against those dictates were very severe, well, in some countries still are very severe.
Yes, amazingly so. Then you have the generational fallout from those decisions, too, whether the people dared to violate church or conscious edict of family system were asked for, just say, a Jewish person marrying a Christian.
Or even marrying within different Protestant sects was, when I was growing up, was frowned on. And certainly, you know, between Catholics and Protestants was considered, you know, problematic. And, you know, in my own family, my father's family came here in the 17th century as a result of the Huguenot persecution. And, of course, without that, they would have stayed in France, and then we would have had a very different story for the subsequent generations. But these religious persecutions also resulted in major, not only wars, but immigrations. And, you know,
and
it's not over. It's not over. No. I mean, look what's going on the planet now, this so-called clash of civilizations, you know, between the Muslims and the Christian and the Jewish world. You know, it's still going on, and these forces are still shaping family systems.
Mm-hmm. And what amazes me is the generational fallout. Being a fellow concentration facilitator, I just see how there's an 100-year, if not a 150-year echo of these traumas in family systems, just because their ancestors suffered in these wars, famine, whatever. So it's quite fascinating how, even though there may not be a war, say, in the United States right now, at least visibly open anyway, the suffering from the previous wars of the ancestors are still manifesting in people's lives. So it doesn't just go away after the war is finished.
Well, you know, we're involved in some 72 wars, declared and undeclared, you know, around the planet. But, you know, here in the States, if you travel between the North and the South, I'm sure you've experienced that, you know, the South doesn't think the war is over. They're taking an intermission down there. That for them, the lost cause is very much alive, and it dictates... quite a bit in relation to their family values, I mean, which go back to the Civil War and before. That's still very palpable in the culture here.
A lot of people don't realize that I subscribe to the Southern Law Poverty Center that monitors hate groups, and I was absolutely astounded seeing a map of the United States between
Canadian.
It's just absolutely amazing how it's invisible to the average person. When you look at the map in every major city, especially the southern cities, you see how we're just an accident away from a reenactment of the Civil War in real time.
Well, you know, they do Civil War reenactments, actually. And I wrote about that in my last book, Time, Space, and Fractals. But most of the reenactors are from the South because, you know, for them it's unfinished business.
Right, right. And I suppose from their psychological perspective, they'd be honoring their ancestors who did fight in these battles and probably lost their lives as well.
And their dignity. And their dignity. And, you know, honor is a very important value in the South. And, you know, I grew up in the North. And, you know, I learned at school, you know, the Union won and we freed the slaves and it's over and that's it. And in the South, it's not over. And, you know, Gary, I think we might agree that the country is still very much divided.
Absolutely.
And that the values between these divisions have deep, deep roots in colonialism and slavery and the Civil War. And that that's transgenerational. And that these, you know, you could say in that sense that war was one of the greater forces, but also colonialism, I think, and slavery is a greater force as well. Because it was an economic force as well.
Right,
because of the sugar and the cotton economies.
And now I really feel there still is a slave economy. Slaves may be, in a third world country. So when you look at the garments you're wearing, where the garments are made, it's really just invisible, but it is going on in another country. I mean, a lot of it used to be China, but and just many other locations, so it's unseen, but it's still very active in the world.
Oh, slavery is planet-wide, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you could say slavery is another one of the greater forces. And then the other blind spot, Gary, you know, I do tend to go on and on about this, as you know, but I go on and on because it goes on, and that's radiation. And radiation is a very great force because not only does it change lives in the immediate sense, you know, where it's been used in war and so forth, such as, you know, we did in Japan, but, you know, the atomic testing programs that have gone on all over the world have created genetic damage. You see, radiation changes the DNA, and that goes on for generations. And, you know, what we're finding out is you see the genetic change in the next generation, but also often even more severely in subsequent generations, you see mutations. So talk about forces. I mean, these forces really do reshape the family on the cellular level. And, you know, since Fukushima is going on and on, we're going to see this on a massive scale. And in countries like Japan, where they've had to deal with this since 1945, whole populations of people they call haibakusha have not been allowed to marry because they were exposed to radiation, because they don't want to take a chance that the offspring, you know, and so on. Or they weren't employed because people had the idea that they could somehow catch radiation disease from these people and so on. Well, you know, how long is it going to be before we begin to see these genetic mutations in the Northern Hemisphere, and how is that going to affect social and family values?
Well, what amazes me about the whole Fukushima issue, which I report on my Radio Activist Network Facebook page, and a lot of people are so shocked when I post things. They said, no, this was 2 years ago. All done.
Oh, yeah,
I said, all moving faster. Hasn't even come to fruition yet. And people are absolutely dumbfounded when I share tiny tidbits. I mean, they've had mutated strawberries in Michigan as a result of the Fukushima fallout already, you know, and that started last year.
I have mutated iris here in my garden, and I have a few very strange-looking roses. It's in the whole northern hemisphere. Gary, online there's a website called mutationwatch.com, and you can see where people have taken pictures from their gardens and sent them in, and you can see this is not rare. It's happening. Now, if the plants are mutating, and, you know, you see more and more pictures of these two-headed animals with six legs, and that's happening to people, too.
Exactly. I saw some pictures, and even some pictures from Iraq with the birth defects in Iraq long after.
Especially Beluga. Especially Beluga. Also, you can go on to the net and you can see the children of Chernobyl, what the radiation did there.
Chernobyl heart.
And you know, the news, you know, you see these dumb things like no one died at Chernobyl. It's like, this is so untrue. A lot of people, millions have died as a result of Chernobyl, but the children are the most vulnerable, particularly the unborn. So, you know, this is already happening in the States. We have an epidemic of babies now recently born with low thyroid. That's just the beginning.
Right.
Now, radiation is one of the greater forces. Now, there's an author. I've been following her work for years. Terry Tempest Williams, she's in Utah, and she's what they call a downwinder, which are folks who were affected by the atomic testing, and she has written about it.
St. George, Utah. I heard Cedar City and St. George had cancer clusters from the Nevada testing in the 40s.
Yeah, and she has documented how the generations of her family have, well, most of them have already died of cancer. And, you know, she's had some tumors here and there. She's still with us, thank heavens. But this is not rare. And remember that movie that John Wayne was in, his last movie? They filmed that near the test site, and most of the main actors, including John Wayne, died of cancer. Because they called it, it was RKO Productions. They called it Radioactive Productions, but this was all kind of hushed up. So radiation is something that they don't want us to know about because, and it's fairly easy because it's invisible. You can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't see it, and it's easy to deny. And,
Because there's nothing, you know, that's why they would let somebody, I mean, I've been told I was paranoid for even commenting on some of the stuff. And I said, just because you don't see, hear, feel, or smell it, it doesn't mean that it's going to go right down to your strontium 90 bones, you know. And it leads to an ostrich syndrome that people just don't want to know. And yet they'll wonder, oh, how did I get this tumor? Oh, how did this happen? Why is everyone sick in my family? You know?
Yeah, really. Well, you know, the same old thing. You know, you're a conspiracy theorist or you're paranoid or, you know, Chicken Little. We actually got a Geiger counter and we test our food. And we test the dust in the house. And the latest dust was 67. That's above. Anything above 60 is cause for alarm. And this is northern Arizona.
Yes, and
this is not Fukushima. This is northern Arizona.
Exactly, and I believe when we spoke last year, it was 45 to 55, so there's already been a bump up right there in the past 12 months. Yeah.
And it's still
I have a smartphone, and ironically, California's been steady about 75, but ironically, Tokyo, because it's east of Fukushima, has been about 45 on the radiation scale. And what I want to alert people to is it's a global radiation monitor, that I think Chernobyl's having another leak because I heard the dome was collapsing.
That's right.
And
Paris is high,
London is high, Bern, Switzerland is high, Rome is high. They're up into the 120, 130s now on a daily basis. So I think Chernobyl is having many events that are unreported right now, not to mention North America with Fukushima. The winds headed our way through Alaska.
And the currents, the ocean currents.
Yep. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so most of the seafood and the seaweed is toxic in the Pacific. And, you know, I recently wrote a blog about why the sea lions are dying and the other sea mammals.
Yes.
I mean, people need to wake
Absolutely.
Up and take precautions because these forces will shape their lives and their families for generations to come. This is real.
What do you find with these greater forces that people are in denial with? It'd be no different than a Jewish family living in the Weimar Republic since something was wrong in Germany with Adolf Hitler, but they either chose to leave or chose to stay. So what do you feel in the psyche of the people that are affected by greater forces allows them to be victimized or in denial to be victimized rather than being proactive to take action to save themselves or remove themselves from a dangerous situation?
That's a huge topic, Gary, really. And there's been a lot of research and discussion about, you know, what is the difference between the people who got out in time and the people who refused to leave? And you know, there are many, many reasons. There's not just one reason. Many believed that they were good Germans, that they had served in the First World War, that they had always been good citizens, and they just could not believe that their government would do that. They could not believe it, and which is a close cousin to, I don't want to believe it.
You know? Exactly. So it's almost like the loyalty to the national pride would prevent them from admitting something that's deadly truthful, to keep them in denial, to allow it. Number one, it allows it to happen, and number two, it creates their own victimization. The denial creates the victimization.
Well, there's also the tribal consciousness, Gary, because many of the Jewish people felt like they were safer if they stuck together. So, you know, they wanted to stay with the tribe. So they went collectively to detention places because they really felt if they stuck to, you know, if they were with the others, they would feel safer rather than striking out on their own to some unknown location, some unknown fate.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a near-fatal decision. But the tribal belief was we're safer with the others.
Also, yeah, and then
many had relatives who were ill, who couldn't travel, who were elderly. They couldn't leave them. And they just felt like, well, whatever comes, I'm not leaving grandma and grandpa, you know.
Totally understandable from a family system.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what amazes me. Go ahead.
Tribal consciousness works both ways, you know, and in one sense it was a comfort, on the other side it was fatal.
And what amazes me about the life force of the human spirit is, in spite of all these greater forces to our detriment in most cases, I almost see that there's almost like a resilience that gets stimulated, even though there are tremendous tragedies, that the spirit or the life force of any individual, family system, or even nation. You know, I always have off that, you know, I had a very abusive childhood because of Nazism and my father being in Germany. And here, within my lifetime, after a terrible childhood, I discover someone who teaches me about unconditional love, fate, and destiny from Germany. Like a full circle for me to regain my heart, lost it because of the trauma of World War II. So it's mm-hmm. almost like a karma joke to me sometimes that that happened in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And how
that's very similar. You know, my father died in the Second World War. He was killed by the Germans. And of course, we had the same teacher, you and I, who healed a lot of that for us. In Germany, with the Germans.
I know, that's the irony.
You know, but, yeah. You know, Gary, we chose to take it
mm-hmm.
on and to, you know, and it is a choice.
Yes,
it
yes.
It is a choice,
and
you know.
To form it and not let it be our undoing.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, we had plenty of reason to blame the Germans for everything that went bad in our lives. However, we made another choice. And there's
mm-hmm.
always a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And we have a few minutes left, so I'd like you to mention a little bit about your trauma, time, space, and fractals, so we plug into that here.
Yes. It took me about 10 years to put into words what I was seeing clinically, because I knew that trauma tends to replicate, that trauma tends to repeat on the anniversary of other traumas, that trauma
mm-hmm.
is rarely one trauma, that it's usually
mm-hmm.
part of a larger pattern
mm-hmm.
in a person's life, in a family system, or in a nation's history, that these patterns repeat, but not in an exact linear way. They tend to replicate along non-linear patterns. So the first reality is, yeah, this is true. But then there's the question, why is this true?
Yes.
Why is this true? And, you know, what I found out is it tends to be true when there is something unfinished, something incomplete, that there is some kind of, and we're back to the forces, there is some kind of impetus to bring something to conclusion, something to resolution, so that the circumstances tend to reconfigurate as an opportunity to complete what remains unfinished. And it's the fact that politicians, the media, and so forth, they know that trauma happens on the anniversary of other traumas, and they exploit this for political reasons. But it was a fact apart from that. But knowing that, then they can use these repetitions for these dates like September 11th, which is
right.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is April 19th, then also April 20th. You know, these are political fractals that go through
exactly.
history.
And I found it no small irony on Patriots Day, the latest Boston event happened. You know,
that
and it's
was
just kind
that
of
was
wrong.
Deliberate. Of course,
well,
it was deliberate.
I feel that way. Yeah, but
sure.
And
Benghazi was September 11th, and I mean, you know, we can go on and on. The Macondo
yes.
well blew on April 20th, Hitler's birthday, and you know, on and on.
Right.
So you know, the whole book's about that. It's like how it happens, why it happens, and how to work with that.
Yes, and we just have a minute or so left. So that book is on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And what I'll do is I'll put your author page on our link here for this show so people can go right to Amazon and purchase your book and look at the other books you've written on trauma, which you've written many. And, we only have about a minute left. Is there anything you'd like to close with? How can people get in touch with you?
Well, the website, of course, is www.acst-international.com. Is the website, and the blog is http://.anguin.wiserville, that's wiservill.org, is my blog.
Great. Well, I'll put that on our live link, so people can contact you and read information about you and go to Amazon and purchase your books. I have to the air now. We only have 30 seconds. I want to thank you so much for this discussion, and we definitely have to continue it because there's just a lifetime of things people need to know about and start thinking about for their own survival at this point.
Yes, it is about survival.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much. And this is Gary Stewart at Conscious Connection, and Angwin St. Just, PhD, is who I've been speaking to. And I will get you a transcript of this and all the links to connect to her in this great topic that affects us all of greater forces. Thank you. Until we meet again, namaste.